on this episode of Rev Hang.
I haven't heard of any other metals, but titanium seems like a good one.
I notably got rejected from USC and Stanford, but that's another topic of conversation.
I can barely get out of bed to go make a sandwich if I have a tummy ache, so.
I didn't know you were such a connoisseur of flashlights, Ben.
I love flashlights.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rev Hang. I am Nathan, and alongside me, as always, across the airwaves, is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
Pretty good. I made sure I got my screen mirrored. I think it's working. And I got some fancy new glasses at the eye doctor, and they're pretty cool. They're a lot nicer than my old ones that I've had since high school.
Nice. I have not seen these glasses, but I'm sure they are fancy.
They are very fancy. They're titanium.
Titanium, the strongest and lightest of all metals, which is not even close to true, but...
you know, it's just common knowledge.
Exactly.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of any other metals, but titanium seems like a good one.
Usually a pretty solid one, no pun intended.
Yeah. But they are very strong and very light, very, very thin, which is nice. It's a nice change from the thick-rimmed plastic ones that were all the rage back in the late 2010s.
Yeah. Nice. Well, this is not an optometrist podcast. This is a racing podcast. So let's dive right in with some paddock news in the open wheel racing world. We'll start with, well, we only have Formula One news this week. First off, the Christian Horner saga continues. The woman who made the allegations towards him has been suspended from Red Bull with pay, interestingly enough. Probably because they still have not found any solid dirt on him and are assuming that she was lying. It's hard to know.
Optics, Nathan.
Optics, yes. Well, if they were concerned about optics, I feel like they would have done some other things. But yeah, interesting they decided to do that. There was some drama with Helmut Marko this week, with rumors of him departing Red Bull and being fired. He has denied that this is true. It's kind of come out that he will be staying with Red Bull. I don't even know what to believe anymore. Everything is so behind closed doors and kind of shady that anything could happen.
The problem is that all the important stuff that we would actually need to confirm any of this has been behind closed doors. And there's no way to tell, like, what's been leaked, what's been fake leaked, what's, you know, it's just so hard to tell. It would have been far better if we had been able to just not have anything leaked. They could have performed a completely thorough, hopefully longer internal investigation if it hadn't been leaked.
Right.
And we would have gotten some definitive answers.
Yeah, some openness would have been nice. I'm sure they're being open with the people they need to be, like Ford.
Yeah,
because I think all of the rumors of Ford dissolving their contract with Red Bull have kind of backed off, and in fact they started sponsoring one of Red Bull's F1 Academy teams. So I think that's probably a good sign that the relationship is in a decent place at the moment.
Stabilized. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's also would lead me to believe that the allegations against Christian were false. And that was...
Yeah, to suspend somebody who made the allegations is... You have to be so confident that that you're on the right track, or else that's just an absolute firestorm. Even more so than what they've been going through now.
Absolutely.
So that gives me a little... It gives me a little confidence, even if it's a little misplaced, that they're at least kind of on a track that's maybe close to the truth, but it's so hard to say.
Yeah, I don't think they would suspend... this woman without pay if they weren't 100% sure that the allegations were false, because Red Bull, I'm sure, have some of the best lawyers in the world, but I don't think you can defend that sort of retaliation lawsuit if it came out that the allegations were true.
Yeah, you have to fight the world, and there are not enough lawyers for that.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd imagine this is probably getting pretty close to over. Christian Horner kind of stirred the pot accidentally yesterday. It was Mother's Day in the UK, I believe, and he made a post for his wife, Jerry Horner. And if reading the comments, it was not received very well.
It's very controversial to do that nowadays.
Yeah, which
we're getting too political though.
Yeah, well, it's okay. We're kind of dancing on that line, but it's fine. moving on. Carlos Sainz had appendicitis this week. Started on Friday evening. Friday morning. He had it all throughout practice, and then it got bad enough to where he checked into the hospital on Saturday morning before qualifying, and it was determined that he had appendicitis and needed surgery. So he was replaced by Oliver Bearman, the F2 driver, and I believe Ferrari's development driver at the moment. Very cool stuff for Oliver, not for Carlos.
No, although it is very impressive that he was able to go through all three practices with appendicitis. I can barely get out of bed to go make a sandwich if I have a tummy ache. So
yes, he just went through the first two on the first day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but third one was Oliver, and then he did qualifying, obviously. And he qualified, spoiler alert, to P11. Almost made it into Q3. He missed out by like 30 one-hundredths of a second.
Yeah, and who was he behind?
I should say.
For Q3?
I don't remember. Was it? It wasn't Hulkenberg.
Did you say seven-time winner Lewis Hamilton?
Oh, yeah.
Was the only driver in front of him?
Yeah. He was 31 one-thousandths of a second behind Hamilton.
Insane.
In qualifying, which is pretty nuts, yeah. So very, very, very impressive stuff. Great job to him on that, but we will get into that in the future. First off, let's start with IndyCar and St. Pete this week.
IndyCar is back. I'm so excited.
Yes, IndyCar is in fact back. It's quickly becoming my favorite series to watch. It's up there with F1, obviously. I like them for different reasons, I'll say that.
I feel like the best way to describe it is like the difference between, this is going to get into the gamer weeds maybe a little bit, but it's the difference between like CSGO, where everything is, you know, really balanced, and then, you know, F1 is almost more like a hero shooter, like Overwatch or something like that, where, you know, there's intrinsic differences in the cars or the teams, that can give people an advantage or a disadvantage, whereas, you know, versus another game where everyone's on the same exact playing field and it's just, can you hit your shots better or something like that?
Right. I saw this thing on the interwebs this week that said that Formula One is an engineering championship with a secondary focus on drivers, and IndyCar is a driver's championship with a secondary focus on engineering, and I think that's a very good way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Or maybe instead of a secondary focus on engineering, it's a secondary focus on team composition.
Yeah, probably.
You can keep all 2 to 4 drivers happy and functioning on the same team.
Yeah, for sure. Drivers, I think, have a lot more control of their destiny in IndyCar than they do in Formula One.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But performance is still obviously very important. We won't get into the Stingray Rob slander quite yet.
It's coming, though.
It's coming. It's on its way. All right, Ben, do you want to go through the qualifying order for the St. Pete Grand Prix?
I would love to. So, first up is Joseph Newgarden qualifying on pole with a time of just under 57.57. Wow, that was really difficult to get out there for a little bit. Second, we had Felix Rosenqvist, who's racing for Myers Shank this year, just right behind him. After that, we have Pato Ward from McLaren. Fourth, we have Colton Herta, Romain Grosjean, Marcus Ericsson, who's now driving for Andretti alongside Colton Herta and Kyle Kirkwood. And seventh, we have...
That's Rinus VK.
Okay, I was trying to figure out...
You know, they list his
Rinus
full
VK.
Name.
Yeah, that really threw me off. Rinus VK is in 7th, we have Will Power in 8th, Scott McLaughlin in 9th, and rounding up the top 10, we have Marcus Armstrong.
Awesome.
I can go through the rest if people are super interested. But
top 10 is
there's
good.
There's a lot of drivers this year. There's 27 on the grid.
Yeah. Notably, further down the field, we had Alex Palou in 13th. Tom Blomqvist started his first race this season in 17th. I don't think we have any other big names. Graham Rahal started 22nd. Past that, not a ton of big names. Kyle Kirkwood was 18th. But yeah, moving into the race. Newgarden got away well and maintained the lead on the start. Will Power made up positions early on lap one. Lundgaard had a puncture on lap one after contact with Palou after a crazy midfield shuffle. On lap 26, Marcus Armstrong crashed out of the race, causing a caution. Almost every driver then pitted under that caution. Rosenqvist and Herta made it out of the pits ahead of Newgarden to take the lead, the effective lead, I should say. Newgarden quickly cut through Herta, Rosenqvist, and Lundgaard to retake the lead. O'Ward took advantage of slower cars in front of him and made his way to P2. On lap 33, Romain Grosjean hit Linus Lundqvist and sent him into the wall, causing a second caution, just Grosjean things. With 28 laps to go, McLaughlin passed Herta to take P3. Stingray Robb, Marcus Ericsson, and Romain Grosjean dropped out of the race with mechanical issues later on. And finally, Newgarden brought the car home first to take the first win of the 2024 IndyCar season. Pretty entertaining first race. Not the best race I've seen at St. Pete, but also not terrible.
Not the worst. Last year, there was an entire, four or six car pileup on turn three?
Yeah.
To start off the season. So I'll take this race. This is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's better to start off with not half the field crashing out. All right. Results of the race. Why don't you go through everybody, Ben? I know it's
everybody. Okay. I got this. I'm all warmed up. So we had Joseph Newgarden converted that pole into first place with a time of second place, you have Pato O'Ward. And rounding out the podium, we have Scott McLaughlin. After him, we have his teammate, Will Power. And Colton Herta is in fifth place. After him, we have Alex Palou, Felix Rosenqvist, Alexander Rossi, Scott Dixon, and Rinus Vicay. Rounding out the top 10. In 11th, we have Santino Ferrucci, Kyle Kirkwood, Callum Ilott. We have
Kiffin Simpson.
What's the first name?
Kiffin.
Kiffin?
Kiffin, yeah. K-Y-F-F-I-N.
Okay. Noted. Kiffin Simpson in 14th. We have Fittipaldi in 15th. Ray Hall in 16th. Blomqvist in 17th. Canapino in 18th. Jack Harvey in 19th. And rounding out the top 20, we have Christian Lundgaard. After him, we have Rasmussen, Braun, Lundqvist, Grosjean down in that 24th spot. Marcus Ericsson, Rob, and Armstrong did not finish the race.
Yep. Yeah, we had the 4 DNFs of Grosjean, Ericsson, Stingray Rob, and Marcus Armstrong. Yeah, it's a lot of names, isn't it, Ben?
Oh, yeah, Grosjean did. Yeah. It's a lot of names, and I'm really bad with first names.
Yeah.
So sorry to Kiffin.
It's okay. He's a rookie. He'll get a pass this time.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stick to the last names from now on.
That's what I do when I'm unsure. just podcast tips for all of you people out there.
Yeah, I'm learning.
All right. Talking points for this race. Joseph Newgarden started out the season very strong. Good stuff from him. I know he's chasing his third title. So can't start the season much better than a pole position converted into a P1.
Especially on a street course, which is where his skills have generally not been able to keep up with some of the other faster drivers like Palou last year.
Yeah, he said that he was, him and Penske specifically, are focused on the street courses this year and getting better at them. Because in the past, Penske has not been super strong on street tracks. So
yeah,
and then
yeah, that's good because he didn't have any problem on ovals last year. So
yeah, Penske's—they absolutely killed it this week. If their goal was to focus on street tracks, I'd say they did a good job because all three of their cars finished in the top four, with only Pato O'Ward and the McLaren in P2 ahead of them. So whatever they're doing, it is absolutely working.
Yeah.
And then last we have championship contenders DNF'd. So I would consider Roman Grosjean and Marcus Ericsson the championship contenders. Obviously, it's super early in the season, so everybody is technically a contender. But in terms of people, I expect to be probably at least top 10 2/3 of the way through the season. I'd say Grosjean and Ericsson are, they fit that bill. Grosjean, maybe not as much as Ericsson, but Ericsson's so good. I think he's finished, I think, 6th in the championship the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And it's always been close between, you know, the 3rd through 8th group. So he's definitely a contender, I'd say.
Yeah. It unfortunate that his first race with Andretti was an engine problem, but hopefully he'll get a better start next time.
Yeah, for sure. All right, that rounds off IndyCar for this week. Let's move on to Formula One and the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix.
Very cool.
Yeah, so qualifying, we'll go through the top 10 to give you context. First place was everybody. So surprised, Max Verstappen. Second place was Charles Leclerc. Third was Sergio Perez. Fourth was Fernando Alonso. Fifth was Oscar Piastri. Sixth was Lando Norris. Seventh was George Russell. Eighth was Lewis Hamilton. Ninth was Yuki Tsunoda. And 10th was Lance Stroll. Oliver Bearman was in 11th. I know we said top 10, but that is worth noting. I know we said it already.
Yep.
Yeah, great qualifying from Bearman for having an hour of experience in that car.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess I misspoke. Tsunoda and Stroll were in front of Bearman. I kind of forgot about them.
Well, in Q3, like in Q2, it was Hamilton that just made the cutoff.
Yeah.
Right. But
yeah, I guess I thought I was talking about overall, but I completely forgot about those two.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Moving into the race. Verstappen maintained the lead on the start. Perez and Leclerc fought for P2, with Leclerc keeping the position on lap 1. Piastri passed Alonso for P4 on lap 2, and then Perez passed Leclerc for P2 on lap 4. Stroll hit the wall and caused a safety car on lap 6. Most of the drivers pitted on lap 8 after the safety car. Norris stayed out to take the lead of the race. Perez got a 5-second penalty for an unsafe release, almost being released right into Fernando Alonso. Kevin Magnussen forced Alex Albon into the wall on lap 10 and earned a 10-second penalty for that. On lap 13, Verstappen took the lead from Norris and Perez passed Hamilton for P3 into the same corner. On lap 23, Magnussen passed Tsunoda off the track and got another 10-second penalty. Over the next 10-plus laps, Magnussen fended off the rest of the midfield drivers to give Hülkenberg an optimal pit window, since Magnussen's race was pretty much irrelevant after 20 seconds worth of penalties. And that rounded off the interesting parts of the race. The podium was Max Verstappen, Sergio Perez, and Charles Leclerc. Fourth and fifth were Piastri and Alonso. 6 through 10 were Russell, Bearman, Norris, Hamilton, and Hülkenberg. 11 through 15 were Albon, Magnussen, Ocon, Sargent, and Tsunoda. 16 through 18, rounding off the finishers, were Ricciardo, Bottas, and Zhou. And then we had two DNFs, which were Lance Stroll and Pierre Gasly. Gasly had the first DNF of the season. Bodes well for our double prediction of Alpine having the most DNFs this year.
Yeah, that was a really hard race for Alpine.
Yeah, not an easy one. So Verstappen has now won 9 races in a row. This is the second time he has tied Vettel's unbeatable record of 9 wins in a row. He's done that twice in a row. He won 10 in a row last year, and then Sainz won in Singapore, and since then he has won the last 9 races. So this record is still in jeopardy again. It could get broken by the guy who said it.
That would be insane, especially since, well, I'd have no idea how Red Bull's going to perform in Singapore this year, but even if it's the same as last year, that's a chance for how many races are between now and Singapore?
A lot.
A lot?
Yeah. At least 15.
Yeah, what are the chances that Max puts together a 25-race streak? before he gets to a place where he struggled last year.
Yeah, talk about a record that's not going to get broken.
That's, yeah.
I don't know. It seems unlikely.
Multi-season winning streak.
Yeah, it seems unlikely that 25 races is going to happen, but who knows?
Anyone could do it, and if any car could do it.
This is very true. It doesn't look like Verstappen's even broken a sweat this year, so we'll see what happens. But along with that, Perez was in fact closer to Verstappen this week. It wasn't a 20-point gap at the end of the race. It was less than 10, I think.
Yeah, it was like 6 or 7, I think.
Yeah, I don't know how hard Verstappen was pushing, if at all. But progress, I'd say, for Sergio. Didn't qualify the best. I think, what was it, 4th or something? No, 3rd. I guess he qualified 3rd.
Yeah.
Crazy how that's not qualifying the best in that Red Bull. But, yeah, he did a pretty good job. He passed people when he needed to. He was out kind of on his own, along with Verstappen. Leclerc was on his own most of the race. Really, the top 5 or 6 drivers were on islands, showing kind of the pace differences between all the cars. There were a couple of exceptions to that. Piastri got stuck behind Hamilton for a long time. And Behrman got stuck behind, I believe it was Hülkenberg for a while. Everybody else got stuck behind Kevin Magnussen for 15 laps.
If K-Mag drove like that every race, he might actually put together some points.
Honestly, yeah. And that leads us into our next one, which is Haas is not actually the worst team this year.
Which is not something I thought I would be saying at the end of last year.
Right, or even after testing. Yeah, they don't seem to have the worst car this year. Not even the second worst car, I would say. Alpine is definitely the worst team in terms of the car. I don't even know about that. Yeah, I think it's close between Alpine and Sauber. Sauber's car isn't very good. I don't know if it's the drivers. It's kind of hard to gauge where Bottas is, and then Joe has been in that car for 3 years, so we don't really have anything to compare it to.
We don't have any comparison, yeah.
So it's hard to say, but I don't think it's a very good car. I'd say Alpine and Sauber are probably tied for the worst, followed closely by RB. And then I think Williams and Haas are pretty close to the same level.
They're honestly pretty neck and neck. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be an interesting battle to watch this year, is the battle between Williams and Haas for P6 in the championship. That's wild.
That is an insane statement.
That is wild. Yeah. But Haas looking way better this year, or everybody else is looking worse. I don't know which one it is, but props to them for breaking out of that back marker spot that they were in for so long.
Yeah, they just have to actually act like it for the next 22 races.
Yeah. Let's hope they can keep it up, because starting in a month or two here, the development race is going to start, and so they're going to have to make sure they keep up on their development to keep up with the rest of the teams.
For sure, because Alpine's going to have a big upgrade package at some point here. Hopefully before summer break, but we'll see.
Possibly. They do have turnover with their aerodynamicist and technical director, though, so who knows how that's going to go.
Well, they completely redid their technical structure, too. So they kind of copied McLaren with they kind of split the technical director position into 3 different people to handle different parts of the car. So it seems to have worked for McLaren, seeing where they're at this year. So maybe it'll work for Alpine, too. It just is a matter of how long it takes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, next up we have Ricardo, who struggled to keep up with Tsunoda this week, and honestly last week too. They did finish 15th and 16th, so he wasn't too far off. But it was apparent that Ricardo was not...
He was struggling.
He was struggling, yeah. Which
sucks. When everyone was like, wow, they're bringing back Ricardo, so he can go to Red Bull.
Yeah, I remember saying that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Thrown shade, Ben?
Not at you, just, you know, everyone else.
Yeah.
Who said that? But I don't think either of the RB drivers are faster than Perez, and that's really what counts.
Yeah.
So.
No, at the moment, I don't see either RB driver going to Red Bull if this continues. I mean, it's very early in the season, but honestly, the prime candidate right now looks like Carlos Sainz. I don't really know what other options they have. I know there was a leak that they offered Albon a contract starting in 2025. I just don't see Albon going back to Red Bull.
No, there's no way. He seems pretty happy being outside that pipeline.
Yeah. So, plus I don't think they would leak. I don't think they would announce that. It was a pretty official leak. So I don't think that would get out if Albon actually took them up on that and signed the contract.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I just don't see Albon going back to Red Bull. Sainz seems possible. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, or maybe Perez just stays.
That is also possible.
I mean, there's entirely the possibility, Emily brought this up, that he does well enough this season that he doesn't have to leave. He can stay there and keep doing what he's doing.
This is very true. I mean, as long as he's finishing second in the Drivers' Championship, Red Bull doesn't need him to do anything else.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason we're talking about it now is because it was close there for a little bit between Perez and second place
last season. Yeah.
And that's not really something Red Bull wants to have to worry about.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens closer to the end of the year. Mercedes is adamant that they're going to be competing with Red Bull after the summer break. And Ferrari, I'm sure, is thinking the same thing if Mercedes is saying that. So hopefully this season could get a little spicy later on. I don't really see anybody challenging Verstappen, but Perez should definitely focus on scooping up as many points here early in the season as he can, just to get that lead going, because I don't think he will always be finishing second place. These double, like, Red Bull 1-2s are not going to be easy to come by later on, I don't think.
No. I mean, even saw Leclerc from his second place position. He was, or second qualifying position. He was holding Perez back for a little bit of that until the pit shakeup started happening.
Yeah. All right, moving on. McLaren has continued their good form. If it weren't for Lando getting screwed over by the safety car, I think they could have probably finished fourth and fifth. I guess it'd be fourth and sixth. I think Lando could have finished P4. He ended up in P8.
Eight? Yeah.
Yeah. But he got completely bamboozled by that safety car. So, unfortunate for him. But in terms of pace and the speed of the car, McLaren still looks very good.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at Piastri for that. He finished fourth, right? He was behind two Red Bulls and Ferrari's lead driver.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good company, especially for your second year. So I think that not only speaks to him, but it speaks to the car too.
Yeah, Piastri did have a very good race, and he was gaining on Leclerc at the end, I think. He just didn't have enough time to catch him.
Yeah, and it did look like they talked about this a little during the cast, at least on F1 TV, that the McLaren DRS really looked not super effective compared to a lot of the teams.
Yeah, McLaren's straight line speed isn't really there, it seems, but I don't think it has been for the last couple of years. Their strength is in the high-speed corners, there's a few of them in Saudi Arabia. But once you get into the European tracks, that's when I think they're really going to shine, just like they did last year. But they're starting the season a lot better this year than they did last year. So if they can stay closer to the top three this season, and then they hit their tracks and hit their stride in the second half of the season, I think they are in a very good spot. So next up we have Oliver Bearman, who stood in for Carlos Sainz this week and did a fantastic job. We've talked about him a little bit already. But he finished 7th, starting 11th, and had a very solid race. He stayed out of trouble. He made some pretty impressive moves with a couple of nice cutbacks. Didn't get stuck behind anybody for too long. And just overall did what the team needed him to do, which was to rescue some points for the weekend. And finishing 7th in his first F1 race at 18 years old is very, very impressive.
Yeah, that is... What were you doing when you were 18 years old? I was playing Fortnite before it was a little kid's game.
Yeah. I never played Fortnite. It was more PUBG for me. But that was that was more 17.
That was the era, though.
Yeah, it was definitely that era. What was I doing when I was 18? I was applying to colleges that I would never get into.
Hey, you got to Montana.
I got to Montana. Yeah. Yeah, I notably got rejected from USC and Stanford, but that's another topic of conversation. All right. Moving into the championship standings. Max Verstappen is in first. Sergio Perez is in second. Charles Leclerc is in third. George Russell is in fourth. And Oscar Piastri is in fifth. Carlos Sainz, after his fantastic race in Bahrain, is still sitting in sixth place, followed by Fernando Alonso in seventh, Lando Norris in eighth, Lewis Hamilton in ninth, and the third Ferrari driver, Oliver Bearman, in tenth. Following Bearman is Hulkenberg and Stroll with 1 point each, and then we have all of the 0 points guys with Albon, Zhou, Magnussen, Ricciardo, Ocon, Tsunoda, Sargeant, Bottas, and in 21st place for, I believe, the first time in his career is Pierre Gasly.
Do you think Bearman is going to outscore any of the three bottom teams this season?
I think so. I think Bearman will finish at least 15th in the championship.
Yeah, I think he might have a chance actually to outscore all of Stake and Alpine.
Yeah. I mean,
which would be hilarious, but...
would be very funny. But let me go to revhang.com and look up the standings.
What can you do there?
I can look up the standings from the 2023 Formula One season.
Wow.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Standings. Formula One.
That's so convenient.
You too can do these things. All right. 2023 Formula One season Drivers' Championship with 6 points and a P7 finish. He would have finished... looks like 17th out of 22nd. He would have finished ahead of Danny Ricciardo, Zhou Guanyu, Kevin Magnussen, Liam Lawson, Logan Sargeant, and Nick DeVries.
Nice.
Yep. And he would not have... So Haas scored 12 points last year, so he would have by himself not finished ahead of any teams, but that's okay. All right. Let's go through the Constructors' Championship, starting with Red Bull Racing in first place with 87 points, Ferrari in second with 49 points. That lead is already massive. McLaren has 28, Mercedes has 26, Aston Martin is in 5th with 13, Haas now has 1 point in 6th place, and then Alpine, RB, Williams, and Sauber are still looking for their first point. Notably, Alpine is in 7th place. I think one of their drivers must have finished pretty high up in Bahrain. Like, and by high up, I mean 11th or 12th.
Ahead of one of the other teams?
Yeah. I still think they're probably tied for the worst car, especially in qualifying.
Oh, yeah. It's like the reverse Haas team.
Yeah. All right. Now, before we move on to the Pit Stop Championship, I would like to take a meme break.
And, meme break?
Yeah. Show you one that I have brought to the table this week. So here it is. For the audio-only listeners... if you have ever seen Impractical Jokers, that is what this is from. It is the picture of the three guys in the room saying, "Now say, can you bring it back to the pit?" And it's a picture of Stroll with his destroyed car in the wall. And then it just cuts to a picture of them laughing like they do on the show. Good stuff.
That was hilarious. And his response, he's just so annoyed.
No, I'm in the wall. Yeah.
It's like, what do you think?
Exactly. Yeah. Good stuff. So that is our meme for the week. Back to the headshots. All right. Let's move on to the Pit Stop Championship. In first place this week was Max Verstappen with a time of 2.44. Very slow first place time, to be honest.
Yeah, there are not a lot of great pit stops this race. I mean, granted, they did have a lot of double stacks, yeah. And that was the only pit stop for the race.
Yeah, that's probably what it was, is that most of the pit stops this race were double stacks, and most drivers only did one stop, except for Bottas.
Poor Bottas.
Yeah, that poor guy. He pitted for softs to try and get fastest lap and couldn't even do that. But I think that's just because the Stake is not a great car.
Yeah, there's your confirmation right there.
Yeah. All right, so first place was Verstappen. Second was Hamilton. Third was Perez. Fourth was Alonso. Fifth was Russell. Sixth was Hülkenberg. Seventh was Piastri. Eighth was Magnussen. Ninth was Behrman. And 10th was Tsunoda. So Haas with a double points finish in the Pit Stop Championship this week. That is probably...
That is the only double points finish they will ever see.
Most likely, yeah. We'll see how the upgrades go, but it doesn't seem likely that we'll see that in the real race. All right, so going through the standings real quick. Max Verstappen is in first place in the Pit Stop Championship with 40 points, followed by Perez with 27, Leclerc with 25, Hamilton with 24, Sainz with 18, Alonso with 12, Norris with 10, Russell with 10, Tsunoda with 9, Magnussen with 8, Hülkenberg with 8, Piastri with 6, Stroll with 2, Behrman with 2, and Ocon with 1. And then all of our non-points finishers so far are Gasly, Ricciardo, Sargeant, Zhou, Bottas, and Albon. Okay. The Constructors' Championship for the pit stops is Red Bull in first with 67, Ferrari in second with 45, Mercedes in third with 34, then McLaren and Haas tied at 16, the only way McLaren and Haas will be tied this year. Aston Martin with 14, RB with 9, Alpine with 1, and then Williams and Kick Sauber, Stake, whatever their name is, with 0.
Soon to be Audi. I saw that they moved their timetable up a little bit.
I don't know if they moved it up or if they just confirmed a full takeover.
Oh, okay.
I think it'll still be Stake next season, but in 2026, Sauber will be no more officially because Audi is buying 100% of the team. So,
rest in peace, Sauber. He had a good run and then a decade of mediocrity.
Yeah, that pretty much describes Sauber. Brutal, but accurate. All right, overtake of the week. I gave this to, once again, a Formula 2 driver, Enzo Fittipaldi, on Juan Manuel Correa and Amari Cordiel into turn 1 in Saudi Arabia during the F2 feature race on lap 22.
Is it just me, or has F1 or FIA actually done... No. Who's in charge of marketing for F2?
I have no idea.
Whoever's in charge of it, I feel like both the F1 Academy and the F2 races have been way better marketed and advertised this year than last year.
Oh, absolutely. Especially F1 Academy. Like,
yeah.
For the first year and a half I watched Formula 1, I didn't know that Formula W existed.
Yeah.
And now it's like all over the place, and we're hearing about the drivers. And apparently there's one driver, I forget her name, which shows you that the marketing isn't perfect yet.
Yeah.
But there's one driver who's apparently far and away the best in the field and is going to just dominate everybody.
Isn't her name like Pin? Or
it's like
how do you pronounce
Pin
it?
Or Pin? Pip. I don't remember. It's something like that. But she's going to be the new Jamie Chadwick of that series. Speaking of Jamie Chadwick, she's not doing so hot in Indy Lights. Well, Indy NXT is what it's called now. She had a rough year last year and did not start the season super well this year.
That's unfortunate.
Is unfortunate. I was hoping that she, because she absolutely dominated the W Series when she raced there. And it's like, I think it would be really cool to see women break into the upper echelon of motorsports more often. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a Danica Patrick NASCAR situation. And
well, maybe not an exact version of the Danica Patrick joining NASCAR situation.
Probably not. maybe someone who's actually competitive.
Yeah. Like Jamie Chadwick.
Yeah. Jamie Chadwick was looking like, is this a future F1 prospect? Is like, what does her future look like? Nobody knew because it's so hard to compare with the Formula W Series and now F1 Academy, which is, I think, all women. Same sort of thing. It's tough because you can dominate in that series and then go to a male-dominated series and not do well. And it has nothing to do with men or women being better at driving. It's just a sheer numbers game. There are so many more men in motorsports than women that if 99% of drivers are men, then of course the top 20% are going to be male dominated. Not even top 20, it's top 5% that even make it to Indy Lights. So it's unfortunate that there's not that representation, but it's just a numbers game. So
you'll
how it is.
You'll continue waiting and watching.
Yep. All right. Next up is our predictions. Let me describe the overtake of the week real quick.
There you go.
Yeah, so Enzo Fittipaldi was, I don't remember exactly where he qualified for the feature race, but it was back there. He spent the whole race passing people. And then on lap 22 with, I think, about 10 laps left, he made a double overtake into turn one in Saudi Arabia, which, for those who can't picture it, it's a very, very tight 90-degree right-hander into a chicane, or left-hander, I should say, into a chicane. And he went around the outside, around two cars, and made it stick, didn't go off track. Very impressive stuff.
Turn one's that cut reverse cut, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Gotta jog my memory in addition to everyone else's.
Yeah. All right, moving into our weekly predictions for last week and St. Petersburg in IndyCar. Pole position is our first category here. What do you got, Ben?
So I had Grosjean for my pole position. That was not correct at all.
Not correct. I think he made it to the fast six and then got sixth, I think.
Yep.
I had Marcus
Ericsson.
Accidentally
started watching last year's St. Pete's because I forgot to look at the year. I just chose the first result on Peacock, and Peacock is an absolute garbage platform for streaming.
So bad.
It wasn't even very stable. Anyways, I was like, wow, Grosjean's... He did it. He fulfilled my prediction for pole position. And then I saw the crash on the lap three turn three, lap one. I was like, oh, it's wrong race.
Yeah, wrong race. So Grosjean, he did qualify pretty well, but not on pole. I predicted Marcus Ericsson, who did have also pretty good qualifying, also made it to the fast six. I believe he finished fourth. Mm-hmm. Or qualified fourth, but the pole position was obviously Joseph Newgarden. And then the podium this week was Joseph Newgarden, Pato O'Ward, and Scott McLaughlin. What do you got, Ben?
I had Pelot, Herta, and Kirkwood. I was really banking on the Andretti boys, and I did not make it.
Yeah, I did a little better. I had Grosjean, O'Ward, and McLaughlin. So I did get O'Ward and McLaughlin right. Grosjean did not finish the race. So did not get that one. But next up, we have winning pit stops. And Joseph Newgarden won the race and pitted twice. What'd you say, Ben?
I had three for my prediction.
And I had two. So I got that one as well. I did pretty decent this week.
That was a streak. Yeah. Got more right than wrong.
Yeah. All right, Formula One. Let's remind everybody of the top five. It was Verstappen, Perez, Leclerc, Piastri, and Alonso. Give me your top five, Ben.
I did not do well this time. I got Verstappen at least, but I had Sainz, Perez, Russell, and Leclerc for my top five, and then I had Stroll as my dark horse.
Gotcha. I did a little better than I did last week. I had Verstappen, Perez, Leclerc, Hamilton, and Sainz with Piastri as my dark horse. So I got the top three correct. I actually nailed the podium. And then I got my dark horse with Piastri.
There you go.
So I'll take it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we both had Sainz in the top five, and he didn't even start the race. but no one could have seen that coming. Fastest lap, what did you say, Ben?
I had Verstappen.
I also had Verstappen. And everybody ready? It went to Charles Leclerc.
Yeah, I did not see that coming.
Yeah, so we actually got that wrong.
I didn't even realize he was on a fast lap towards the end.
Yeah.
Until a little purple flash. I was like, dang it.
Yeah. All right, driver of the day. What did you have, Ben?
I had Russell.
And I had Leclerc, and it went to Ollie Bearman.
With 48% of the vote.
Yeah, deservedly.
Very well
so.
Deserved.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was probably the biggest margin of voting that I've seen.
Yeah.
For driver of the day.
Absolutely. Definitely deserved it. I can't really think of any other standout drivers that deserved
Magnussen,
it.
Magnussen, maybe?
Magnussen, I think he was second place. I think he had like 15% of the vote or something.
Yeah, and then maybe Piastri.
Maybe Piastri, yeah. He did get stuck behind Lewis forever.
True, but fighting with Lewis on your second season.
True.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, in a worse car, yeah. All right. Next up, we have this week's predictions, and we'll start with IndyCar at the Thermal Club. This is a circuit we know very little about because IndyCar has not raced here. There has been some testing, but that's about the extent of it. So winning pit stops is a shot in the dark for both of us.
Yep.
All right, pole position. What's your thoughts, Ben?
I have McLaughlin for this one.
Okay, and I am having Pato O'Ward.
Yeah, I know very little about this track.
Yeah, I know it's like a actual track, though. Like a, what's the...
Road course?
Road course, I guess, is how you would say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not what they're called in Formula One, so my brain was short-circuiting. but it's an established actual circuit, road course, unlike the street tracks that are taking over all of motorsports right now. So I am kind of excited to see how that goes. Excited to see the track, kind of learn the layout a little bit. I don't know if I said that. I think I have O'Ward as my pole position. I did say that. Podium. Who is your podium?
I'm giving a shot to Dixon, Power, and VK this time.
VK, huh?
Yeah, he had a pretty good race.
Huh, interesting. Yeah.
Today, so I want to give him a shot.
Yeah.
Let's see how it feels.
Yeah, we'll see. He is a race winner. So
yeah,
he does have the skill to do it. He just hasn't won a race in a couple years. And I think he's only won ovals, but I could be wrong. I don't. No, I think he won IMS 1 year. The road course there. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he did pretty well this past race. So I'll give it a shot.
Throw him a bone. All right. I have O'Ward, Newgarden, and Herta on my podium.
Strong.
Yeah.
A couple of Penske boys.
Colton Herta. One Penske boy.
No, Herta's not a Penske boy. Never mind. In regard.
I've got a good mix of Penske, Penske Herta and McLaren. Herta being Andretti.
A three top team buffet then.
Yes. Yeah, I feel good. Colton Herta is looking very fast this year. So
yep.
Maybe this is his year. Maybe he'll get his super license.
As long as he can manage his tires, actually, he will be in a good shape.
As long as his teammate can't throw his races, or his team can't throw his races by screwing him in pit stops. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And then winning number of pit stops. What do you got, Ben?
I'm going to give it 4. I have no reason to think that it'll be 4, but yeah, we'll give it a shot. VK for podium, 4 pit stops.
I'm detecting chaos is your prediction for this race.
Yeah.
Okay. 1.
Just insanity.
Yeah. All right. I have 2 as my as my number. I don't think Deg is going to be as high as it is in usual. Well, it could be. There's going to be more high-speed corners, so we'll see. Watch, it's going to be 3 since we predicted 2 and 4. That's usually how it goes.
Yeah.
All right. Australian Grand Prix in Formula 1. Give me your top 5, Ben.
So I have Verstappen in first. Mm-hmm. Easy. Perez in second. Sainz in third. Leclerc in fourth. And Alonso in fifth with Hülkenberg as my dark horse.
Gotcha. And I have Verstappen winning, obviously, and Leclerc in second, Norris in third, Perez in fourth, and Sainz in fifth. Hopefully he is back to himself.
Hopefully. We're both banking on him.
Yeah, right? Otherwise, yeah. But it would be cool to see Bearman get another shot at a race.
That would be awesome.
Would be very awesome. But I would be surprised if Sainz wasn't back in the car in 2 weeks. I mean, he did have abdominal surgery, so a normal person would absolutely not, but F1 drivers are not normal people.
Yeah, they want it more, yeah. Apparently, after seeing all the injuries that F1 drivers have been through the past couple seasons and how fast they come back.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, he's not going to want to miss 2 races if he wants to fight for P2 in the championship.
Yeah, for sure.
So he's lucky right now. He did so well in Bahrain that he's still in sixth and he's still got solid points. But yeah, he's not going to want to miss another one. I don't know if I said my dark horse. I have Alonso. I think I did. Fastest lap. What do you got, Ben?
I'm going to give this one to Verstappen.
I'm going Lando Norris because I am a McLaren fan and I believe.
You just believe?
I believe.
If you believe harder, then that will overcome the straight line speed.
Yes. Belief equals speed. Sometimes. Not usually. But, all right. Driver of the day. What do you got?
I'm going to give this one to Piastri.
Makes
Home
sense.
Home team advantage, baby. Yep. I didn't put him into my top 5 at all, I realize now. But
yeah,
give it a shot.
Okay. I'm giving this to Carlos Sainz. My thinking is, maybe it's iffy if he comes back to race, and then he does, and then he does well. And so everybody's like, oh my goodness, he was racing right after surgery. So that's my prediction there. But we'll see.
I like the logic.
Yeah. I really get into the psychology of race fans. I'm an armchair psychologist.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's no money in actual psychology.
No, not at all. Just like there's no money in Formula One. All right, Ben's words of wisdom. What do you got for us this week, Ben?
Yeah, so storm season is not finished with us yet. But I find it's always a good idea to have backups and spares of critical equipment. So I've recently started accumulating little IFAC kits. They're essentially, these are my boo-boo kits. So they have Band-Aids and pain relief creams, anti-chafe pads, you know, for ouchies and boo-boos and minor headaches and sores. Nothing big. Just, you know, have a couple of those in each car and in your house. Extra flashlights with extra batteries. I love flashlights, especially the cool ones. So this is really more of a hobby for me, but it's always good to have enough batteries to keep your flashlights on, at least for, you know, say half a night. For 3 nights. So just kind of being present of mind and keeping batteries and all the stuff you need to make sure that you can stay mostly warm and see where you're going and have communication if power goes down.
Good stuff.
Yep. Ben generators Bradley. Are also nice, but if you live in an apartment, it's kind of hard to have a gasoline generator. Although I will say the battery banks, the big ones, have gotten much cheaper in the past years.
Yeah, this is true. I didn't know you were such a connoisseur of flashlights, Ben.
I love flashlights. I know I get a lot of heat for this sometimes, but my EDC right now has been an Olight Warrior Mini 2, and I know Olights have the haha hand grenade association after that one incident in 2017, but they've gotten a lot better, and I've been carrying this one for about 2 years now, and it's been great. So It's just nice to have a good flashlight. It's way better than having a phone flashlight.
Nice. You're hitting me with all this like flashlight lore, and I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm here for it.
We could have an entire flashlight podcast if we wanted. It would be so easy.
I will let you record and edit that. I'll be a guest, but I've got enough on my plate.
Okay.
All right. Thank
it's
you.
Worth a shot.
Yeah. Thanks everybody so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. Subscribe or follow on YouTube or Rumble if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and Formula One or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on Twitter or X using hashtag RevHangPodcast, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can also follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and even TikTok at RevHangMedia. Before we go, we do have a question, Ben. I forgot to put this in the script. But
that's crazy.
Let me bring up the question. Stay tuned, all of you beautiful people.
We're getting there. We're prepared.
Very prepared, yes. All right. This one comes from my coworker, Omega Echo Kane.
they found you.
Yes, they found me. Her question, all the drivers, which one do you think you would butt heads with the most if we were Formula One drivers?
I'll let you go first. I gotta think about this.
Okay. I somewhat thought about this throughout the week. Let's just imagine that whichever driver we choose, we are on equal skill level with.
okay.
Because otherwise it's gonna be like we're not butting heads with anybody because we're 30 seconds behind the pack. so I would say, just purely based on history and how this driver gets along with their teammates, I think I would get along with most people, even in a competitive setting. I believe I'm competitive, but I don't think I get super toxically competitive. The only driver that I think would push me to my limit is probably Esteban Ocon.
I knew that was coming.
Yep. he does not get along well with his teammates, and he does not fight cleanly with them generally. So that would be my pick. If that is your pick too, Ben, that is completely fine.
Honestly, I'm kind of contextualizing this a little bit differently. I'm thinking like, you know, if we were out and about, like hanging out, and there was a, you know, I was hanging out with all the F1 drivers as a group of friends, you know, go see a movie or something like that. I honestly feel like I would butt heads with Lando Norris because we're a similar enough age that we probably almost have similar interests. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it's just a gut feeling that we would disagree on some things and it would be difficult to reconcile that with the personality type.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I know so much about him.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Obviously we're experts in all things Lando Norris.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I think that's a good pick. Lando, I think, has become, how do I phrase this? I think he's become a little more intense than he was when he first joined the paddock.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely more confident and sure of himself, which is a good thing. But also ultra competitive, and I think frustrated that he has not won his first race yet. And so
yep.
I think that's leading
Yeah, last year I think I would have said Russell.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he's actually evened out. But I think Lando Norris is definitely somebody I would have disagreements with.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think Russell was my second pick behind Ocon. Anyway, that is our question for the week. I did not want to leave you hanging there. I know we promised that if we get questions, we'll put them on the show, so I did not want to break that promise. All right, we'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about the IndyCar race at the Thermal Club and the Formula One Australian Grand Prix. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I've been.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.